If you would turn to page, I think it's 136, 134 in your liturgy book. You can see the text of today's epistle reading. It's read every year on this day, which is called Cheese Fair Sunday, the day before Lent begins. And Lent involves certain behaviors and fasting and stuff. And so this lesson deals with right and wrong ways of behaving and right and wrong ways of thinking regarding abstinence, which is a major component of fasting. So a couple of points. I spoke about this passage last year. I should take a quiz and see what you remember. But so when it says, brethren, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, in this case, Paul is using the word salvation to mean eternal life with God in the age to come, which is the opposite of condemnation in hell. And basically, he's just saying every day that goes by, we're one day closer to our own, you know, end. And that sense of salvation, not the salvation, when we say salvation, that the Lord, you know, died and spilled his blood and, you know, rose from the dead. I mean, that's also salvation, but salvation is used to mean things. So in this case, we're one day closer to heaven or not. Then he gives five exhortations, and I'm going to go through those and just make some points. The first is, let us then cast off the works of darkness. Works of darkness are the sins that typically are done at night in the darkness. This reminds us also of what the Lord said in Matthew about the outer darkness, which apparently is reserved for those of us who commit these works of darkness. So let's not. And then he says, and put on the armor of light. Armor of light means the brilliant and luminous works of the virtues, that is faith, hope, love, humility, peacemaking, forgiveness, charity, hospitality, purity of heart, mind, and body, fasting, vigilance, obedience, and all the rest of the virtues. Armor of light reminds us of the radiant and luminous and light-filled places where the saints dwell forever. The third exhortation is, let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness. And we said last year, those are kind of unfamiliar words, perhaps. It says, let's be decent always and not party, not get drunk, not sleep around, not be promiscuous. That's what those words mean, okay? Those things are typically done at night, unless you're a real partier. And Paul is saying, let's not do these things ever. Let's live and act decently both day and night. Pretty straightforward. And then the fourth exhortation is, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this last year, but it bears reminding. It says, as baptized Christians, these folks that Paul was addressing already put on Christ and had been united with him through the sacraments. So what is Paul saying? He is referring to a situation where a Christian does not keep their baptismal vows, does not keep the commandment of Christ, and goes back on the renunciations of the devil and all his work. The church still requires these renunciations at baptism. So those people, and we, and me in many cases, broke their union with Christ because Christ, who is purity and holiness itself, separates himself from those who pollute and defile themselves when they sin in certain ways. So Paul is exhorting them and us to remedy that, to repent, confess, and be reconciled to Christ. That is what the sacrament of penance, also called confession, is about, getting us back in union with Christ and permitting us to receive his body and blood again, not unworthily, but without condemnation, for forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. The fifth exhortation is, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Not quite the meaning. It would be better to say, and do not make provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Not make no provision, but when you provide for your body, don't do it just for, you know, to provide for your pleasures. Paul's not saying that you shouldn't take care of your health, after all. In another place, he wrote, no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and takes care of it, in Ephesians. So what he is saying here is, don't pamper your body to gratify its desires. Take care of your body so it can assist you in the works of virtue. And that is one of the reasons for fasting, to get back to providing for our bodies, but not so much so that they act and react sensually, but that they only do normal functions and also assist us in the works of love and virtue for the sake of Christ our God. And also to get back in union with Christ if that union has been disturbed. Now, the original context for which this letter, you know, was written, I mean, there's a history, there was a specific, you know, issue. Last year I explained the situation that Paul was addressing in this letter to the Romans, namely that some members of the church were not fully knowledgeable of the Christian faith and were keeping their own kind of diet, thinking it was the pious thing to do. Paul exhorted the Christians then to be somewhat accommodating towards these folks whom he called weak in the faith, and not to be judgmental. So don't think that when he says, you know, someone eats vegetables and someone doesn't, that he's saying that we shouldn't give up meat or anything like that. He's not talking about Lent in the letter. He's talking about people who didn't understand the faith. Make some accommodation for them. Don't get into big discussions with them, and don't judge them. That's the point, you know, in the letter. So the solution to that is then and now is to make sure that none of our members is lacking in full and correct knowledge of the Orthodox Christian faith. The doctrines, like the teaching about God and our salvation, and the practices, which are designed to support our Christian life. And that is why this lesson is read today, since we are less than a day away from beginning Lent. So the takeaway is this, as it was last year. Let us use Lent to repair our relationship with Christ, to tame our bodies and not do bodily sins, to fast according to the church's teachings, and not to judge others for fasting or not fasting or for anything, because we are God's servants and he is our judge and our Savior, who can pick us up from our falls and make us to stand once again. Glory to him.